This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Bikini teen Marley vanishes from a party boat at Sex Rock. In the last hours, a gruesome discovery. But now we're hearing nobody on the boat, at least 10 people, remembers what happened to Marley. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Nineteen-year-old Marley Kinney is spending the day on Kentucky's Grayson Lake with friends when she jumps off a pontoon boat but never makes it back on board. As investigators respond, they discover the boat's captain is allegedly intoxicated and unable to tell them where Kinney entered the water.
Hi, my name is Willow. In the photo is a picture of me and my sister, Marley Kinney. And if you live anywhere near me in Kentucky, you know that she has been missing for about 3 days, 3 to 4 days now. She went missing on Wednesday, I believe the 24th of this month. She was going with some friends to get on a boat on Grayson Lake and just boat around, have a party, whatever, have fun. My sister is 19 years old, and her friends are all over 21 except for one of the boys that were on that boat. They had all gotten off in the water somewhere to use the bathroom. A few people stayed on the boat, but around six got off to use the bathroom, and she was one of them to get off. And they had all gone back on and were driving away, and they realized that Marley was not on the boat. One of the girls said, "Where is Marley?" and realized she was not there.
Interesting, because reports tonight are that no one remembers anything that happened. That from our friend Will Lovely Y on TikTok. That is Willow, Marley's sister. How can someone disappear from a party boat with at least 10 people on it and nobody knows what happened? Joining us, an all-star panel to make sense of what we are learning right now. But in the last hours, we learn the body of this young girl, after multiple days searching, has been found. Susan Hendricks joining us, investigative journalist, author of Down the Hill, My Descent into the Double Murder in Delphi. Susan, thank you for being with us tonight. First of all, just tell me about the discovery of the teen girl's body.
Yes, there had been searchers, Nancy, for several days using sonar, diving in that area. The bad weather kind of hindered that a bit, but they did discover, sadly, her body yesterday afternoon, Sunday, that is, around 3:45. So 5 days after she was reported missing. And sadly, we heard from her sister, the worst outcome she could imagine, but so many questions and a gap in the timeline. But I think to the pontoon boat, they don't go very fast. How did this happen? And will we find answers from the people on the boat?
A pontoon boat. Significant that the party boat we're talking about was a pontoon boat. Straight out to Ben Durbin joining us out of Virginia Beach, emergency response diving instructor, police diver, emergency services diver. There's a big difference in a pontoon and a speedboat, which makes it even more difficult for me to believe, Ben Durbin, that nobody knows what happened.
You're absolutely correct. A pontoon boat is a flat boat. It's great on lakes. Not known for their speed, just like you said, but you can put a lot of people on them. So if they had 10 people, like you said, you know, they get crowded. That boat would get crowded with 10 people on it. And if somebody was standing on the bow there, looks open. If you hit the throttle, somebody could fall off. If somebody's behind, they could fall off. But, you know, after a while, you should notice that somebody's missing. Even with 10 people, you're going to see it's not a huge area. You would see that somebody wasn't on that boat. So it's kind of concerning.
Durbin, let's break it down. This is not a cigarette boat speeding through at 70 miles an hour. A pontoon is like...
It's a party boat. That's exactly what you said. It's a party boat. It's designed for you to kind of chug along at a nice speed with your friends. Some of them were having cocktails, obviously, including the driver was having cocktails. So it's a party boat. It is not a speed
boat.
Why
do you say it like that? Having cocktails. They were drunk, stinking, had a snootful, having cocktails. That brings to mind some elegant get-together in Manhattan, looking out over the city, having cocktails. BS. That is not what happened.
Well,
and how can nobody notice that she's missing? That's what I don't get. I got another question. Straight out to Dr. Kendall Crowns joining us, renowned medical examiner out of the Fort Worth Morgue. That's Tarrant County. Never a lack of business in the Fort Worth Morgue. He is the host of a hit podcast, Mayhem in the Morgue, and he is an esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, her body had been in the water for days. What kind of evidence does that destroy?
So in individuals in water, especially in the summertime, because the water gets warmer, they begin to decompose in a more rapid manner. So after 4 days, she would definitely be in a moderate to severe stage of decomposition. She's going to have green discoloration, skin slippage, bloating from decompositional gases.
Okay, slow down, slow down, slow down. Dr. Kendall Crowns, okay, the rest of us are mere mortals. We're not esteemed lecturers at the Burnett School of Medicine. Can you go back and start with the word moderate? That's where you lost us.
Okay. So moderate stage of decomposition is when most people think of decomposed bodies. That's the stage where they get dark green to light green in color. The skin starts breaking down and sliding off, and they also begin to swell up with decomposition gases that gives you the smell that everybody equates to decomposition. Also during this time period, the internal organs are decomposing as well. So the more muscular or fibrous organs like the heart, the prostate, the uterus, they'll stay intact, but the more soft organs, especially ones with digestive enzymes like the pancreas, will all start to become liquefied. The spleen liquefies, the pancreas liquefies, etc. As far as injuries are concerned, you'll still be able to find gunshot wounds, stab wounds. If she broke her neck, any of those findings can be found. But the other thing that can occur in a water death is whatever is in the lake too will start consuming her. Turtles, and especially catfish. So they'll start chewing at the body, removing parts of the skin and things of that nature. The longer the body's in the water, the more destruction is done by the water creatures. Another thing that happens is there's a formation of a waxy soap-like substance called adipocere, and it's caused by bacterial action that takes the fat and forms like this waxy cast on the body as well. So you'll still be able to find injuries or signs of injuries, but there'll be a lot of things distorted by not only decomposition, but also fish and turtle scavenging.
Straight out to Robin Dreek joining us, behavior expert, former FBI special agent. Let this sink in. Chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Author of Sizing People Up. Author of Unbreakable Alliances. You can find him at robin.dreek.com. Robin, I'm not buying what they're selling. How can there's at least 10 people on the party boat. A pontoon goes, 5 miles an hour? It barely goes. So they didn't notice she's missing. When I circle back to Dr. Kendall Crowns, I want to find out, can I still find bruises? Was her boyfriend on board? Did somebody punch her, hit her, throttle her? I don't know. Because somebody is not coming clean. You cannot have 10 people on the boat and not notice she's gone. That's BS. So if that premise is true, then ergo someone, if not more than one person, is lying. So I have to wonder, why is somebody lying?
Yeah, what's really curious here, there's a lot of things curious because we don't really know a whole lot yet. And we're looking for wobbles, we're looking for deviations from what we normally expect in a tragic situation like this. And to me right now, the silence is really deafening. We don't know what investigators have found, but having a bunch of young people not broadcasting out what happened on that boat is what's interesting. I'd be really curious right now about the last people that with her on shore, their relationships that they had with her. I'd be going through forensics, digital forensics, looking for unhealthy relationships and looking and seeing if I can identify someone with any anger issues, rage issues, because an organized assault on someone is very uncommon, but it might have been something that was more impromptu and opportunistic if it went down that road at all, because these things are tragic. And I think a lot of what we don't know is also because alcohol was the kerosene on the pit of stupid here, as always.
Robin Drake, I see a lot of conflicting words in what you just said. Number one, young people. They're in their 20s. They're not 12, 13, 15, 17 even. They're 20, in their 20s, mid-20s, with jobs and lives. They know better. Why is some person, in just one person, lying to me and to the public? Why? I have to figure out why, because it's never good. A cover-up means there's something to cover up. Now, interesting, you mentioned alcohol. Don't care. Alcohol is not a defense, period.
Never.
What I find really curious is when you said organized assault is rare. Bullies, frenemies, how many girls were on that boat that were jealous of her, that didn't like her? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because they've all clammed up. But what do you mean by organized assault is rare?
Yeah, when you have a group of people, if you're going to intentionally do harm and pre-plan it, it doesn't happen with large groups of people, because if you're going to do something like that, you want to get away with it. And if the more witnesses you have, more people that you have to have on board to your plan, the more they fall apart, either before, during, and definitely after. And that's why we'll definitely get leakage if that was the plan. I'm more on if this was malintent, you know, during this, if it went sideways somehow, there was going to be some sort of fight, disagreement, or there was some, like you said, frenemies or deep-seated unhealthy relationship going on there that they're going to really focus on when doing these investigation interviews. So that's why I say it like that, because an organized preemptive, you know, assault on someone is very unlikely.
Also joining us tonight, Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction. She's the author of Deal Breaker, and you can see her now on Bravo and Peacock. She is the star of a brand new podcast, On the Couch with Dr. Bethany Marshall. Dr. Bethany, I'm just trying to imagine what really happened on that party boat when this young girl went overboard and nobody noticed. I find it compared to what Robin Drake just said, and I'm not disagreeing with him, I'm just analyzing what he said, that when you have an organized assault on someone, you worry about keeping it a secret. I don't think when people commit a crime that they're worried about getting caught. They're not thinking about the implications a day after, a week after, a month after. I think they act in the moment, such as girls ganging up on someone, a guy roughhousing or angry at her, pushing her over, a group picking on her, bullying her, and then she ends up overboard somehow and nobody does anything. I could see that happening. And the reason we're having to spin out every scenario is because everyone has clammed up.
We know, Nancy, it's quite a large group for an organized assault. Remember Shanquilla Robinson? She was lured down to Mexico and then assaulted by several friends. What was interesting in that case is there was the deafening silence that Robin Drake just referred to. Nobody talked. Nobody called the mother. There was just, everybody just went into hiding. One of the perpetrators ran to his mother's house. So in this case, I think we human beings, we want to talk and we're extraordinarily curious and we love to solve mysteries. That's part of the human nature. So if in truth she went missing and absolutely nobody noticed it, those people who are on the boat are going to start talking to their mothers, their sisters, their schoolmates, spinning out theories. And then those people who have theories are going to talk to other people who have theories. And there's going to be these huge urban myths. And as Robin Drake talked about, a large forensic digital footprint. But there seems to be nothing. I was following the chatter online, and the only thing I could find was some rumor that her ex-boyfriend was on the boat with a new girlfriend. That's an unsubstantiated rumor, but the fact that that's all I could find tells me that everybody on that boat is colluding in some way. What is the collusion about? We can't know. But like you said, we have to follow every thread. Is the collusion that everybody was on mushrooms? They don't want their parents to find out, or their employer. Is the collusion that the girls got into a fight? Is the collusion that, you know, somebody knocked her overboard and she was unconscious and everybody panicked and left? But I do believe there's not an organized assault, but there is a collusion. It's a little less nefarious, but it is that, again, that deafening silence that Robin referred to that makes me the most suspicious.
Straight out to Sky Lazaro joining us, veteran criminal defense attorney. She works in both state and federal cases with Ray Quinney and Nebaker. Sky, thank you for being with us. Now, you just heard Dr. Bethany Marshall parse words, split hairs, saying that it could have been a group thing, but not a collusion. Collusion doesn't take any serious period of time. They basically have to be in the act together, either bullying her, pushing her around. It can be one person, two people, three people. And then suddenly she's overboard and no one wants to rat out the other. So what do you think about the possibility that these at least 10 people are going to assert the Fifth Amendment and continue to clam up and not say anything?
I think at some point somebody will say something. Somebody's attorney is going to go get them a deal or something. And this really could have been an accident. The fact that nobody's talking does not mean that something bad happened or some intentional crime. We don't know enough.
If it were truly an accident, don't you think they would be telling what happened? Here's a great example. In the case of Alex Murdaugh, his son, Paul, had been BUI, boating under the influence, just really drunk. People were begging him to get away from behind the wheel. He wouldn't do it. Instead, he crashed into cement pylons under a bridge. I went and looked at them there myself. They're deadly looking. Just huge cement chunks. I mean, really big, 6 to 12 feet each, sticking up, jutting up out of the water. You can't miss them. He ran straight into those, and 19-year-old Mallory Beach goes flying off the boat. Well, even though Alex Murdaugh went to the hospital to speak to all the witnesses, telling them to lay low and he would represent them as if they had done something wrong, they told what happened almost immediately. That's not happening here. They're not talking. If it had truly been an accident, don't you think they would be saying that?
Maybe, maybe not. I still think we need to know how she died. I mean, whether it was an accident or not, it still could be a crime. We know the guy driving the boat was drinking. He admitted it, that part at least. So, I mean, there could have been an accident. She could have gotten hit by the boat. Everybody could have panicked. I don't think it's that uncommon to see young adults who are already doing something they shouldn't be doing panic in a situation where something unintentional happens.
Okay, the way you just spun that out means everything was just a big accident. If it were an accident, somebody would be talking.
So they tried to circle back to where they thought they last saw her and had asked other boats around if they had seen a girl, and no one has seen her. And when they got back to around where they thought the location was, she was nowhere to be found. They told me that they were screaming for her, yelling for her. They had looked for her. There is a few conflicting like stories, but that I don't even care about that right now.
That from Will Lovely Y on TikTok. That is her sister. She may not be worried, Robin Drake, about conflicting statements, but I am. When I hear conflicting statements, there's a problem, there's a lie. Now, when you have a witness add on or embellish, that doesn't bother me. I really blame that on the questioner because they're not asking the right questions and getting the full story. So the person has to add on. But when I get a conflicting statement, somebody is lying. You can't really claim they had a different vantage point. They're all on a boat together. Mm-hmm. It's not that big. So why conflicting statements? And did you catch what the sister just said? They tried to circle back where they thought they last saw her, which totally rules out what Sky Lazaro just said, which was to the effect she fell off and they were circling back and maybe they ran over her or the boat hit her like it's the boat's fault. No, they said they circled back to where they thought they last saw her. In other words, they didn't notice she was gone. That's BS. They asked other boats, had they seen the girl? Nobody said that they had seen her. They were trying to find her, quote, last location. This is not fitting together, Drake.
Yeah, the more we're looking at this, and especially since, you know, we keep talking about you got 10 people that are being silent right now. So they have a fear, and that's what deception is. There's a fear of sharing truth. There's a fear in sharing your agenda. And when you have collective 10 people fearing to share that and interspersed with conflicting reports, that is interesting and troubling, especially when the only person talking is the one not on the boat, the sister. So she seems completely free to talk. And so it's not like law enforcement came in and said, don't share anything, because she apparently feels free to share. I'm definitely skeptical about why they're not sharing. There's something hidden right there. Now, whether it's nefarious or not, we don't know yet, because investigators will find that out. But there's definitely something hidden that they don't feel safe in sharing.
This is a photo from the day of. I know it says 2025. Just to clarify, my sister does not know how to change the dates on a camera, and her camera was only set in the wrong day. So it says 2025 in December, which you also can tell that it is not December in the background of this, so it's definitely the wrong date. And she just got this camera, and that was the exact swimsuit that she was wearing that day. And that is one of the girls she has gone with, just to clarify that the date is wrong. The times on it are correct, though. This one was around 2 something p.m.,
Here's the individual was at some point on a pontoon boat, and then later throughout that day it was identified that they were no longer on the boat.
No offense, but Lieutenant Chris Mulholland with the Fish and Wildlife Division just said a whole lot of nothing. That's from our friends at WSAZ, and earlier again from the sister Willow at Will Lovely Y TikTok. Okay, did you hear what he just said, Ben Dobrin? Ben Dobrin with me out of Virginia Beach, emergency response diving instructor, and a lot more. Listen to this. It appears the individual was at some point on a pontoon boat, and then later, throughout that day, it was identified that they were not on it, no longer on the boat. What is he saying? It's just a word salad.
I agree with you. He's not saying anything. Basically, yes, she was on the boat at one point, and then she wasn't on the boat at another point. What transpired between those two points, he's not saying, and I don't know at this point if anybody knows what transpired between those. Yes, we know she was on the boat. We saw pictures of her on the boat. Everybody agreed she was on the boat. And then obviously she wasn't on the boat anymore, and her body was discovered 4 days later. So what happened between being on the boat and those 4 days later when they found her body? That's obviously the big question right now.
Susan Hendricks joining us, investigative journalist and author of Down the Hill. Susan, I wonder why this area is named Sex Rock. That's a whole nother can of worms. But did you hear Mulholland? Maybe he's giving me a word salad because that's all he's been given. Did you hear? Let's hear that one more time, please. This is Lieutenant Chris Mulholland from Fish and Wildlife.
Here's the individual was at some point on a pontoon boat, and then later throughout that day was identified that they were no longer on the boat.
Susan, I'm not necessarily blaming Mulholland. That's from our friends at WSAZ, by the way. That may be all they have gotten out of the witnesses. So he's ambushed probably in that parking lot. It looked like a boat ramp area. What do you know? What do you know? And that's all he knows because that's all they're telling him.
Yeah. It seems like a formal way, Nancy, of saying, I don't know. And clearly the answers will come from those on the boat. According to Marley's sister, Willow, everyone on that boat was over 21 except one other boy under the age of 21. But she did say this, it stood out to me. There was a female teacher on that boat, and she wasn't quite sure. She said either in her 30s or 40s. Was there a ringleader there who's bringing the story together is what I'm wondering. And did the authorities separate them and get various stories, or are they just home right now? Because you're right. That age, they're online. We would hear from someone to say, hey, I was on that boat. I'm so sad. We didn't notice she was gone or what have you. But they would be online if they weren't all just keeping the story to themselves.
Just as an aside to Susan Hendricks, investigative journalist, Susan, why is it called Sex Rock?
Well, I don't advise Googling it because I did. And what I found was it's only known of that name to locals. And I think it's self-explanatory that kids go up there and maybe there's a hidden part, speculation, but I tried to find it. Only known by locals is that name. But if you look at the rock, it looks like a phallic symbol, maybe. Speculation on the rock. I don't know the origin of who started that, but apparently it's called that.
Back to you, Robin Drake. You recall when Natalie Holloway went missing. She was taken by Jorn Vandersloot and the Calipo brothers. And when her friends there at Carlos and Charlie's were asked, they said, yes, we were there with her and she left without us. They knew exactly what happened. Here, nobody will state exactly what happened. And you heard Susan Hendricks just state there was a female teacher on the pontoon. Why isn't she coming forward and stating what happened?
Yeah, Susan's insight on that was really interesting to me. I actually wrote it down right there too, because that would start explaining, if true, why there's a hidden agenda, why someone's fearing sharing. What, there may be a ringleader in here. And again, it couldn't be, it doesn't necessarily mean that they all assaulted her and did something nefarious to the poor girl that died, but maybe she's fearing for her job. In other words, like we said before, there's a hidden agenda that people don't feel safe sharing. And for some reason, if the teacher's involved, she might be the ringleader in keeping everyone silent because maybe she fears for her job or maybe she organized. Who knows? But there's a lot of areas that need to be explored investigatively, no doubt. And I think there'll be a digital footprint and digital trail in this at some point, at least.
Okay, hold on. Robin Drake. That's really important. Explain how valuable a digital trail would be and exactly what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, part of the investigation is they're going to get subpoenas and they're going to go through everyone's cell phones. They're going to be looking at text messaging. They're going to be looking at all the social media sites that all these people are on. And they're going to start seeing and identifying relationships. And most importantly, they're going to start identifying unhealthy relationships. They're going to start identifying priorities of all these people, hidden priorities and agendas that they may or may not have. And then when you start getting at least one degree of separation away from the individual themselves, you're going to start getting some real truth going on behind what's going on in these people's lives. And so that's, as an investigator, it's what creates your filters and where to focus on. And right now, if true, the teacher at the forefront of this, if there's a teacher on board, they're going to be looking at her, especially if there's a position of authority or implied authority that she might have control. And so again, they'll be able to identify that either verbally through the interviews or through the forensics on the digitals.
Sky Lazaro, the driver of the boat, has been charged with BUI, boating under the influence. He was breathalyzed at about 0.08, Cameron Conley. But, Sky Lazaro, a death occurred during the commission of his BUI. Is he set up for felony murder charges?
I think there is a strong potential for that, if not some sort of negligent homicide or something along those lines, depending on what state you're in and how they prosecute these. But he certainly wouldn't be the first person who was charged criminally for something that was an accident. And I know we've disagreed on this, but you know, even best case scenario, this really was an accident, he still could be criminally liable just because of the fact that he was under the influence when he was operating that boat.
Susan Hendricks, tell me what else you know, if anything, regarding an adult female teacher on board. Did the teacher have a husband? Did the teacher have an adult boyfriend? Who is this group?
Right. It does seem a little strange to me, and I'm wondering, Robin may know this, the more people on the boat, does that make it so that if she is missing, it's less obvious? I'm trying to fill in the blanks here. All I know is it was a teacher. Immediately, I thought male. But as I listened more to Willow, she said no, female. But it was not clear to her. She said 30s, 40s. Maybe when you're that young, you think that, I don't know, they're just older. So that teacher was on board, she said. She also said this, that her sister Marley didn't know the lake that well. So I wondered, how often was she out there? Was she invited? Because she also mentioned co-workers on that boat. What is the relationship to Marley?
Wait. Who had co-workers on the boat?
According to Willow, it was co-workers of Marley's. She worked at a restaurant, Smoking J Ribs and Ice House, you see here in this TikTok. So I'm wondering, was she excited to be invited? Were they all really just acquaintances? All you need, I'm thinking back to when I was that age, is one close friend to say, hey, wait a minute, we're leaving without my friend. It appears no one said that.
Nobody said a word. Back to you, Dr. Bethany Marshall. An adult, of course, they're all adults, right? Most of them. You've got a 23-year-old boat driver, an operator of the boat. You've got a female teacher. Did she have a boyfriend or husband with her? You've got co-workers. Nobody said anything. How do I know some of the girls didn't gang up on her, push her overboard as a joke? How do I know she didn't have a spat with a guy and he hit her or pushed her? Nobody's talking, Dr. Bethany Marshall. Why?
Nobody's talking, and people want to talk. Nancy, essentially, we human beings are caring, loving, and we value our attachment system. So when somebody disappears or go overboard, that's all we can think about. That's all we want to talk about to our families, our friends, anyone who will hear and listen. And in this case, nobody is talking. It is so strange. My theory about the teacher, Nancy, good teachers are authoritative in a positive and beneficial way. In other words, if somebody went missing, the teacher would organize the group, go back to shore, call the authorities, and make sure everybody's okay. But why did a teacher not step forward? Why did she not step into the gap and say, hey, guys, kids, we need to do something about this? Nancy, you and I have probably been Sunday school teachers, camp counselors. Even if there's an age gap of a few years, the person who's a little bit older wants to take charge of the situation. And this teacher did not do that.
After she went boating with her friends, got off to use the restroom, either in the lake or on the side by where there's some rural area, or we don't know where she went to go to the bathroom, because then the people on the boat, her friends, did not see her or report her missing until 4 p.m. So what happened to Marley when she left all of her belongings on the boat? Because her sister, in a post, did say that they checked her Life 360, but all of her belongings, her phone and everything, were left on the boat. So this beautiful 19-year-old girl goes to the bathroom and vanishes? So what happened between seeing Marley on this cliff and her going missing and nobody on the boat having any idea what happened?
That is the Marissa Gold on TikTok, and she's absolutely correct. Dr. Kendall Crowns joining us, renowned medical examiner of Tarrant County and star of Mayhem in the Morgue podcast. Dr. Kendall Crowns, would bruises still be apparent on her body after that many days? And why didn't her body float to the surface?
So often when someone drowns, they lose all the oxygen from their body and they inhale water. And that water coming in then makes them less buoyant and they kind of sink to the bottom of the river or lake or whatever they're in. And they don't usually bob back up until the decomposition process has been going on long enough that the body swells from the decomposition gases, and then they float to the surface like a bobber. As far as bruises are concerned, yes, you would still be able to see bruising. It is often obscured by the decomposition process, the greenish discoloration, the lividity can make it look like there are bruises that aren't bruises, or it can make bruises themselves not look normally. And usually what you do is you cut into these areas while you're doing the autopsy and look for hemorrhage in the fat or the subcutaneous tissue to show that it was actually a bruise. So you can still find them. It just takes a little more effort.
Her sister did check her Life 360, and it was confirmed that her phone and her belongings were left on that boat when she got off to use the restroom. It's also a disputed fact of where she or how she went to the bathroom. Did she jump off the boat and use the restroom in the water, or did she get off and use it on a side of one of the rural areas? So that would be a big difference.
Okay, I got a big problem now. That is from the Marissa Gold on TikTok. Robin Drake, behavior expert, former FBI special agent, chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and author. Now, we don't know whether she jumped off the boat to urinate in the water or whether they dropped her off at the shore at an inlet. That's bad. That's a bigger lie. That we can't even get the answer to that simple query?
Yeah. The revelations of older adults being on this boat and there being silence is becoming more and more concerning as I'm listening to this, because it rings of ringleader, like you said earlier. And that's why we're not having any leakage right now. But I'm pretty confident, though, when people don't like being silenced. You know, as a good doctor was saying earlier, we want to share. We want to rationalize our behavior. We want to be accepted, and we want to have, you know, be seen and heard for our thoughts, opinions, and what happened in tragic situations like this. And if someone gave us instructions, even in a short term where there's an assumed authority position, like a position of a teacher, that's going to erode extremely rapidly over the coming days, because they're going to feel disenfranchised. They're going to feel like they weren't heard. They're going to feel like the truth isn't out there, because the likelihood of everyone conspiring together, as we've all said before, against her is slim to none. That's why I think we're going to start getting some more accurate details about what actually came out.
If you know or think you know anything about the disappearance and now the discovery of the body of this young girl, please dial 606-928-6421, 606-928-6421. We remember an American hero, Officer Joey Vincent, Greenville PD, Kentucky, just 30 years old, shot in the line of duty after serving 8 years, leaving behind his little girl, Brooklyn. American hero, Officer Joey Vincent. Thank you to our guests, but especially to you for being with us tonight. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.